Amen. Would you open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2? Give the live stream a second to catch up. And Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. You might not believe it, as long as I preached Sunday morning, I still didn't finish everything I wanted to say. And so I want to wrap up a few thoughts with you before we move on with our Vision Sunday, this coming Sunday. Galatians 2:20 has been one of my favorite verses in Scripture for a long time. It's something that it convicts my heart and blesses my heart every time I look to it. And so I want to invite you to stand with me, if you would, please. And we're going to be in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Sunday morning, if you missed that message, and if you're joining us online and you missed it, you can go back and listen to that. But just trying to really focus on this fact that Christ is in you, and he's in you forever. It was our theme for 2020, but just because 2020 is gone doesn't mean that Christ isn't in you anymore. When you're born again, he's in you from now for forever. And we want to be reminded of that. And I want to talk to you this evening about being alive in Christ, that we're alive in Christ by Christ, we're alive in Christ for Christ, and just how that happens. So Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you so much for this day that you've blessed us with, another day to live and move and have our being, a day to live for you. Father, I pray that you'll help us to do that tonight, to live for you, that every day that you give us, that we would live for Christ. And Father, I pray that you'd help me, for I'm nothing without you. I pray your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts tonight. Lord, I pray for anyone who hears this message, if they're not saved, Lord, they're here in this building, they're at home watching, they're somewhere else, well, maybe just watching on their cell phone, Lord, whatever it is, they know in their heart they've never been born again. I pray that before this message is over tonight, they would repent of their sin and unbelief, they would trust in Jesus as their Savior, and they would call on your name in prayer and ask you to forgive them, ask you to be their Savior. Lord, we pray for the lost to be saved, and Lord, I pray for the saved, that we would understand we are alive in Christ. We're dead to our old nature. The old man has passed away, and we're a new creature in Christ. And Lord, that by your grace, by your power, by your Spirit, we would live the life that you give us, and we would do it for your glory. Please help now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. Spurgeon once talked about an evening when he was riding home after a long day's work. And he was feeling a little weary. He was feeling a little depressed. Anybody feeling a little weary tonight? Unless it's just too much effort, you could raise your hand. Anybody feeling a little depressed today? Listen, if you watch the news today, I don't know how you could come away feeling anything but depressed. It's just so discouraging to see what's happening in our country today. We go through the time of taking the prayer requests a little while ago, and just hearing about the tragic loss of life. We hear about people who are sick. We hear about people who are in the hospitals. People are struggling. It can be overwhelming. Just going through your day-to-day life and all the things that stress us out before 2020 happened, those things are still there. And then we have all the weight of all these things, and it can be easy to get us down. Well, Spurgeon was having one of those moments where he was just feeling down. He was tired, and he was discouraged, and he was depressed. And he said, like a lightning flash, he thought of 2 Corinthians 12:9, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And Spurgeon said, when he thought of that, he busted out laughing. And he said, I should think it is, Lord. It was like the Lord just took that verse and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And he just laughed and he said, well, I should think so. He said this. He said, it seemed to make unbelief so absurd. It was as though some little fish, being very thirsty, was troubled about drinking the river dry And the river said, drink away, little fish, my stream is sufficient for thee. It'd be like a man climbing up to a high mountain and being worried about using up all the atmosphere and the whole sky saying, breathe deep, little man. My atmosphere is sufficient for thee. Listen, friends, God's grace is bigger than we can ever begin to imagine. And I know that you might be feeling discouraged. And I know that you might be feeling down. And I know that you might be going through a hard time right now. But I promise you, his grace is sufficient for you. His grace will never run dry. And I want to tell you today that you can trust in that. You can trust in that. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And we spent a lot of time Sunday morning talking about the fact that we are dead in our trespasses and sins before we get saved. But the moment you pray and ask Christ to be your Savior, when you trust in him, you become dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. And he lives inside of you and he gives you life everlasting. And now we get to walk in newness of life. That just like Jesus rose from the grave, we too can walk in newness of life. And then we see that we are alive in Christ. We're alive by Christ. We're alive for Christ. He says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We know that he gave us the earnest of his inheritance. The Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you. Now, if you're like me, if you can remember when you were saved, something happened in you where you had some assurance. There was something that happened that you knew that you were saved. Anybody experienced that? Where before you didn't know, or before you knew you weren't saved, but in a moment you knew that you were. Something happened. God put his Spirit inside of you. His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God. And Christ lives in you. Now, we live. Paul says, the life I now live in the flesh. Now, some of us are a little bit discouraged about having to live this life in the flesh. You ever wondered, have you ever just thought for a second in your Christian life, you know, when I got saved, why didn't God just take me straight to heaven? Why didn't God just give me a glorified body right then? He's going to do it in the future anyway. I mean, he says these promises in present tense. He says we sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now. We're already alive in Christ. Why didn't he just give me a glorified body right then? Why didn't he do that? Well, friends, I don't know why. It's his design that you get saved, but then you have to go through a process of sanctification. He's given us a life to live right here. But the life that we live in the flesh, we don't live in our own strength. We don't live for our own purposes. We live this life now by faith in Jesus Christ. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He's quickened you. He's made you alive. And you've heard the quote, no doubt, by C.T. Studd, who said, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Now, I know we got to go through our day-to-day lives. Listen, you got to pay the bills, right? You have to pay the bills, right? Okay, I guess you don't. Just fine. Don't pay your bills. Let me know how it goes. Okay? We got to get up. We got to take care of business. We've got ourselves to take care of. We got our families to take care of. We got our homes to take care of. We've got to go through the mundane things of life. But that's not what life is about. Listen, it doesn't matter what your job is, what your profession is. It doesn't matter if your job is to stay at home and raise the children. It doesn't matter if your job is to fix somebody's plumbing. It doesn't matter if your job is to teach children. It doesn't matter whatever you do with your day-to-day life. That's not what life is about. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Our life is about Jesus Christ. And here's the beautiful thing, friends. It doesn't matter. You could say, I do this with my life. I do this with my day. You say, I'm retired. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter. You still can live your life for Christ. And it doesn't matter if you're one of our young people in school who's saved and baptized. They can live their life going through school for Christ. If you're in college, You can still live your life for Christ. If you have a career, if you're retired, if you are a homemaker, whatever it is, your life is about Jesus, because he is our life. Christ, who is our life. And we're going to live this life in the flesh until we see Christ face to face. Do you know when that's going to happen? Some of you think it might be soon. Some of you think it might be a long time down the road. Some of you think you're going to live to be 120. That used to be my goal, 120. I've revised that. I'm not sure I want to be here that long. But guess what? I got no say in the matter. He's numbered my days. I don't get to number them myself. So what do? I live this life that I have in the flesh. I live it for him, because it's his life. How do we do it? Well, friends, we have to do it by faith. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. A lot of people in the world today say that faith is really important. Even atheists and secular people, they say, you know, it's good to have belief in something. If you just believe, they talk about just having faith. And your friend Oprah, your favorite TV personality. No? Wrong crowd? Okay. Good. Says that you can have faith in God, or you can have faith in the light, and if you just have faith that it's all going to be good. I've got news for you. Your faith is only as good as the object of your faith. Okay, you may have faith in a chair and sit down, but if that chair can't support your weight, if that chair is broken, then your faith is misplaced and your rear end will be placed on the floor, right? I've got a recliner at home. It's my favorite recliner. It's conformed to my body. Anybody else got one of those? Sometimes my wife suggests that I need a new chair, and I don't need a new chair. Occasionally, I have to turn it over and put bolts back in it. Not that long ago, I sat down in it and almost went all the way backwards, you know. But, you know, you buy some bolts, you put it back together. It's all good, right? Listen, every time I sit down, I think it's going to hold me, but some days I'm not so sure, right? Our faith is only as good as the object of our faith. Now, Oprah can say all she wants to as long as you have faith. See, what that does is it puts it in you that it's your faith that makes the difference, but it's not your faith that makes the difference. It's the object of your faith that makes the difference. You put your faith in the universe if you want to. It's not going to help you. The only thing that can help you, the only one that can help you, is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we live by faith, the faith of the Son of God. We trust in him. Can I invite you to look to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. I want you to look at a few scriptures here with me tonight for just a few minutes. We live by faith. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with the hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." I just wonder tonight, as you look at that passage of Scripture, he talks about a tent or a tabernacle, which is a tent. He's talking about your fleshly body. And he's saying that we've got this earthly body, this mortal body, and it's going to be dissolved one day. But that doesn't scare us. That doesn't bring us to fear. That doesn't worry us, because we know that when this earthly tabernacle, this earthly body is dissolved, we have a heavenly body waiting for us. Buddy, with me? That this mortal is going to be put off, and we're going to put on immortality. The corruptible is going to be put away, and we're going to put on that which is incorruptible. So I just wonder, where's your confidence at today? There are a lot of well-meaning Christians in America today who are losing their minds because of what happened with the elections in Georgia. They're losing their minds because President Pence didn't do something today. They're losing their minds about all the things that are going on. And I want to tell you today, you can be upset, you can be worried. What you ought to do is pray. But listen, at the end of the day, what are we losing our minds about? If you're in Christ, you have life everlasting, and we're not living for the here and now, we're living for the eternal. Listen, I'm American, and I'm thankful to be an American, but I'm a Christian first. And if America rises or America falls, I'll still belong to the kingdom of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we need to get our focus back where it matters. I want to tell you something. These elections haven't gone the way I hoped they would, okay? You may care about that, you may not. That's okay. They haven't gone the way I wanted to. But I'm going to tell you this, God's in control. And for this nation to go in a way that we might not want it to go, it may not be great for America, but you mark this down, it may be the very best thing for the Lord's churches. Listen, the churches don't need a great economy to thrive. The churches don't need a great governance to thrive. What the churches need is a holy passion for Christ and to be living by faith. And when you stop trusting in the government, and you stop trusting in the economy, and you stop trusting in what's going on at the White House or the courthouse and all the rest of that mess that's up there, and you get your focus off of all of that, and you put your focus on Jesus Christ, then we can get something done. The kingdom. Hey, listen, the kingdom, the outlook for the kingdom's never changed. Listen, the future of the churches, the future of God's kingdom, they're all as bright as the promises of God. They haven't diminished at all. So we live by faith. And look at what he said there in verse 6, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 6. Therefore, we are always confident. We're always confident. That's confide. That's with faith. Do you know that's what confidence is? We're with faith. We are always with faith, always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. I wonder if that's true in our hearts and lives every day. Our method of this life is to walk by faith. Let me talk to you about our motives. Our motive. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So it's his faith. It's not the world's faith. It's not some nonsense that I made up, but it's the faith once delivered to the saints. But are you with me? Jude talked about that. The faith once delivered to the saints. That's what we live by. Trusting in Christ, looking to his word. This is what we believe, okay? But then he says, not only the faith of the Son of God, but then he says, who loved me and gave himself for me. So our method is by faith, but our motive is his love. Our motive is his love. Remind me again, we love him because, man, I'm so glad you know that. Why do we love him? Because he first loved us. He loved me and he gave himself for me. I think that motives matter. You think motives matter? You see, motives matter because motives will get to the heart, and sooner or later, things are going to get difficult. Sooner or later, things are going to get hard. We've had a rough year. We've seen families who have struggled financially. We've seen businesses close all over this country. We've seen things that have happened in our economy that quite frankly, some things will never recover. They won't. They're not going to come back. They can write all the stimulus checks they want to. There's some things they can't fix. By the way, most things can't be fixed with a check. Families have lost loved ones. It has been a devastating, that last year was a devastating year in so many ways. And we don't downplay that. But listen, those hard times have checked people's motives. Why do you come to church? Why do you tune in on the live stream? Why do you get your Bible out and go through the Bible reading plan? Why do you carry gospel tracts in your purse or in your truck and hand them out? Why do we do the things that we do in the name of Jesus? You see, when things have gotten hard, it checks our motives. And if our motive isn't the love of Christ, then we won't pass that test. Our roots can't be in stony ground. We can't allow ourselves to be choked out by the thorns. But we have to abide in Christ and his love for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where we were at a moment ago, if you jump down to verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. There's so much great truth in those two little verses, but get this. Jesus died for all because everybody's dead. There are a lot of people in Christianity today who don't believe this, but I'm going to tell you over and over and over again, the Bible makes it very absolutely clear. Everybody was dead. That's who Jesus died for. Well, who was dead? Everybody, all mankind is dead in their trespasses and sins. That's why we know Christ died for all. Christ died for all because all were dead. Who did he die for? All the dead. That was me. That was you. That's all 7.8 billion people on the planet right now. And everyone who's not saved, Jesus died for everyone. He died for all. And the love of Christ constrains us. The love of Christ gets a hold of us, because when we look to Calvary and we see that Christ died for us, it motivates us that from this moment on, henceforth, we should stop living for ourselves and start living for the one who died for us and rose again. See how it all comes back around? The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus Christ died for you. He rose again. And when you believe that, it motivates you to live for him. And you live for him because he died for you. And if you believe that, his love motivates you to keep living by faith. Been discouraged a lot, off and on through the year. And when I read that quote from Spurgeon, man, it touched my heart. I was feeling a little depressed. I was feeling a little down. And I remembered that verse, just like a lightning flash. My grace is sufficient for thee. I should think so, Lord. Where does that come from? Because when Jesus said it, he believed it. Do you believe the promises of God tonight? Because if you believe, then you'll know his love is real. And when you know his love personally, it'll motivate you to live for him. Tonight, I want to ask you to stand with me. We're going to have a verse of invitation. I wonder what kind of faith we have in Jesus tonight. I want to have the faith that Job had. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I don't know about all the burdens. My heart hurts when you hurt. We've got a lot of hurting in the church tonight. But I know that his grace is sufficient. So I plead with you to look to him tonight. For your own healing, for the healing of your family, for God's comfort in your heartache, for God's comfort in the heartache of your loved ones, whatever burden there is, bring it to him because his grace is sufficient. I believe that tonight. Do you? Bring your burdens to him tonight. Trust in him tonight. Live for him tonight and every day until we see his face. Let's sing.
521.
Number 521.